Just one second. Excuse me. So, let's just sing that song. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, but thank you, Lord.
I don't know why He came.
I don't know why.
I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad He did.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Yeah. calling me.
Strength is God. He will carry us where we can't carry on. Raised in His power, there we become strong.
Amen.
His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Amen.
His strength is perfect when our strength is God. You carry us when we can't carry on. Raising His power, the weak become strong.
Amen.
His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Set your holy seal upon me.
Singing one song,
And we said, no. They said, it's the party in here. So we're singing, but we're singing, Let the Rain Come Down. And we used to sing that song. They were so excited. They were charging up. So the brother has got a lot of virtue in his. And it's just shy. Bus driving, it does that to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing Eloi Elohim. Amen. We'll just sing a group of those songs as the pastor comes. Eloi
Elohim. How we long to worship you.
We long to worship you, Jesus.
Eloah.
Eloah.
Elohim.
Elohim.
How we long to worship you.
Can we come to you?
before we do anything else, let's all put ourselves before the Lord in prayer. Mm. As we just balance the microphones and so forth. Let's come before the Lord. As we come before His word, we come in before Him Himself. So let's come and bring ourselves in prayer before the Lord. And just one announcement, youths to meet in the church after service for choir practice, please. And then visitors, we have Patricia from Mexico. May the Lord bless her. Amen. Amen. And then we have the saints from the north. We're ready to appreciate seeing them as well. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Let's read Acts chapter 26. Let's get our thought from there today. Let's fellowship around a certain thought. Acts 26, verse 15 and verse 16. In fact, if you put the slides, I've actually put some of them on slides today. It's a very important thought today. But there's certain things that you really need the right atmosphere. And there's certain things that it can just be a very... There's something that can just pass you by if you're not in the right atmosphere. But if you're in the right atmosphere, you'll find out that it's a real important thought today. We wanted to look at this thought as
the encounter. What is the message, believer? I think it would be important thing for us to understand. What is the message, believer? The last week we're looking at, remember Lot's wife, and we saw how Lot, she spent a lot of time around the message, but she was never really a message believer. You know, so having looked at her, it would be good for us to look on the other hand now and say, but what is a message believer? Now, what really, we know there's three kinds of believers in every gathering of people. But there's believers, make believers, unbelievers. And every one of us, I'm sure, is here with a sincere motive, wants to make sure that we meet the category of what is the message believer.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we wanted to have a look at. Let's have a look at our scripture. If you go to the slide, sister, we can put it on there. The next slide. Oh, sorry. Our scripture. It says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness.
Amen.
Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So this was Paul's encounter, which became his absolute. When he met Christ himself, he met the Logos himself in his day.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke unto him and said, I've appeared unto you for this purpose. There was a purpose behind this encounter. He says, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of the things which I will appear unto you. It's powerful. Father, as ever, we are so dependent upon you.
Hallelujah.
Father, we know that in a gathering of people like us today, outside of you, Father, nothing good. But Father, by your grace, as we visit our souls, surely, Lord, there could be a difference made.
Amen.
By your mercy, in many lives, in many circumstances, Lord, if you would move, Father, there'd be questions that you would answer. There'd be situations that you would resolve.
Amen.
Father, you would minister strength. You would minister grace. So, Lord, as always, we call Jesus on this.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that you always are so faithful to your appointments. Thank you that you said we're two or three. Father, you've been in the song worship.
Hallelujah.
You've been in the items.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Father, everything that has been done so far.
Amen.
Now, Lord, above all, we want you to get in your word.
Amen.
Because it's your word that you've chosen as the vessel to transform us and make us into what we're supposed to be.
Amen.
So may your spirit come now. May you overshadow each and every one of us, Lord. Father, let it be as it was in Israel. That, Father, you would come and overshadow the camp. That, Father, the outside, let it be outside. For the season, Lord, let us be shut in with you.
Amen.
Bless each of the visitors in our gates upon this day. Bless them that have given, Lord, items upon this day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to be here. Bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me see that. So that is our thought today. We want to take a look at this issue of what is an encounter. If you go to the slide where it says the definition of an encounter is an unexpected meeting with someone or something. That's what an encounter is. It's an unexpected meeting with someone or something. Now, when we're speaking down the divine line of God meeting with people, his meeting with you, it's unexpected to you, but it's not unexpected to him. Because there's always a purpose in this encounter, as we saw with Paul when he spoke to Paul. So in this particular aspect, as I said, we're trying to just define what makes a message believer. What is a message believer? Where can we get our confidence in that we're message believers? We've had many people we fellowshiped with over the years. We thought they were message believers. They're now critics of this message.
Wow.
No, we had many people we walked with for quite a season, people we prayed with, people we spent time with, and they're no longer in this message. You know, so this thought of what is a message believer goes beyond just gathering around the message. I think we saw that clearly enough last week, is that no matter all the privilege that we receive, like Lot's wife, we may be related by marriage to the prophet himself. You know, we may be in the camp of Abraham, we benefit from all of the testimony of Abraham, he speaks of all of his doctrine, all of his visitations of the Lord, but in the end, you know, there was something lacking in Lot's wife. And she never, ever herself became part of the things that she was all the time hearing about. Though she may have thought that she was. But it takes an encounter. Now, to make a message believer takes an encounter. There's no other way someone can become a message believer. You can't become a message believer by learning doctrine. It doesn't work. You can't be a message believer by just accumulating more understanding or more knowledge. Now, that's not the criteria of a message believer. To really become a message believer, we'll see it from the scriptures. We'll take it because, now, it's one of those topics where it's very, very difficult to define in words. But it's something that if you look at the lives of the great people behind us, and if you look at Christ, what is done in our age, and we'll be able to identify ourselves one way or the other to really see by the grace of God at the end of the service whether we are real message believers. And if you're not really message believers, if you're honest with ourselves, that we'll seek to really become the real thing. Because friend, why not be the real thing? The prophet always says the skies are full of the genuine Pentecostal blessing. So why? What word did you say? Why satisfy yourself with something less than that which is real? Amen. If there's something genuine available, I'm sure all of us desire that same thing. Amen. If we go back and look in the Bible at the examples of real message believers, the first one that's going to come to mind is Joshua and Caleb, because these were real message believers.
That's right.
Living in the days of Moses. They were in an exodus, and they were the true believers in the exodus.
Amen.
But many people perished in that exodus. Many people came out with Moses. Many people seemed to believe the message. Many people even baptized with Moses' baptism in that day. But so many of them perished in the wilderness. So there must have been some sort of a difference between these true believers and the unbelievers, the make-believers.
Amen.
Now, there were things that Moses said that all of them had difficulty understanding. No, the prophet speaks about it. There were things in the message of Moses in that age which it wasn't that easy to understand. The prophet gives the example that Moses comes and says, "So the Lord has said, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not make any graven image."
Amen.
Then just about in the next chapter, the Lord says, "Make two cherubim." And overshadow the mercy seat. So you're going to find things like that. There's going to be things that you're going to say, "I don't understand. It says this here, and then it says that over there." And unless you get a real deep spiritual understanding, you won't understand those things.
That's right.
Up to the outward form of things, you're always going to find a lot of things. Moses is going to lead the people into the wilderness. There's no water. There's going to be circumstances and situations which are difficult for everybody. Joshua and Caleb didn't understand why there was no water. They just found themselves in the same position as the rest of the people. They then get to the stage that there's no food. You know, everybody's murmuring now, as we saw on Friday night, for the garlic and the cucumbers. But there was a difference with those two. They didn't react in those situations the same way that the rest of the people did. And we need to examine why. You know, why were they different than the rest of the people? Why did they look at things that are different? The prophet actually says that Joshua and Caleb stuck with Moses even when he was wrong. So why did they do that? I mean, what would make them different? Why did the rest of the people, Dathan, Abram, and Korah, the moment the problem comes up, they're rising against Moses? You know, they're contradicting what he says. They're contradicting what he stands for. You've got to expect these things to come along the way. When Moses marries the Ethiopian woman, he doesn't give an explanation. But it says you should only marry believers, and then he marries an Ethiopian woman. So there were these things that would happen along the way that if you were looking for something to criticize, there was going to be things for you to criticize.
That's right.
Now, there were things done without an explanation. Now, if you got into the spirit, you would understand it.
Amen.
Because Moses, being a type of Christ, had to marry a Gentile bride.
Amen.
We know those things. At that stage, they didn't know those things.
Amen.
They just saw these things happening in the Exodus, in the message of the hour. When Moses smote the rock the second time. And Moses, I mean, he's like all people. He made his mistakes as well. Moses losing his temper. Now, there were things that you could look at and say, but hey, The prophet, look at what he did there. We don't understand this and we don't understand that. And it's going to be like that in every message.
That's right.
Because God doesn't only give food to the believer, but he gives ammunition to the unbeliever.
That's right.
Because if you come in to criticize, you're going to find something to criticize. It just depends on what you come in to look at. So, but they weren't critics. And the key thing of it, if you think of Joshua and Caleb, is think of them before they met Moses. Think of them before Moses came down to Egypt. Think of their lives. Yeah? Think. They had promises which they'd received from their fathers, but they didn't see any of those promises helping them. They were slaves in Egypt. They were mud daubers down in the mud pits. Their lives were cruel. They were under hard bondage. No, they would speak of God. They would speak of all the great promises that he had made. But they had no reality of those things. Now you think of that, those years they were in Egypt, Joshua and Caleb, along with the rest of the people. It must have been very discouraging. It must have been discouraging, people making all these claims to say, we the children of God. We the people of God. God spoke to our father Abraham. God delivered him from Babylon. God gave him an inheritance. We are the seed of Abraham. They were speaking of these things, but they had so many unanswered questions.
That's right.
They had so many things they couldn't understand. They didn't understand the day they were living in. They didn't understand why this power was over them. They didn't understand, but why are things the way that they are? Does it have to be like this? And friend, to any genuine person, if you were down in Egypt, you would have had deep, unanswered questions.
That's right.
You would have looked at yourself and said, buddy, if there's a God, what is my purpose? Is my purpose just to stand in this mud? Is my purpose to be lashed and to be whipped? Is my, and many people, I'm sure, down in the mud pits would question the existence of God. They would say, but there's no sense that God things are just stories. If there was a God, he would change our situation. He wouldn't leave us in a situation like this. And then Joshua and Caleb, maybe they'd be in the mud pits and say, no, but God is real. And that's okay, show us. You prayed to this God so many times. You prayed for deliverance. You explained to us, if we are the children of God, why are we in this situation? What did we do wrong? What did we do this? There were so many unanswered questions that they had.
Amen.
They couldn't understand the day they were living in. And they couldn't understand the modern events that were taking place.
That's right.
But friends, it all changed when the prophet came their way.
Amen.
When the prophet came their way, everything changed.
That's right.
When this prophet was commissioned by the pillar of fire, and he was told, go down and deliver my people. There was such a turning point in their life.
Amen.
When the prophet came their way, things were revolutionized.
That's right.
All of the questions they couldn't answer became answered questions. All of the things that were dark and deep within inside of themselves that they would lie on their beds at night and wonder about, because of this ministration, through this man, everything became clear to them.
Amen.
It was a total revolution inside of their life. For the first time, when they came out of that Exodus, they started to understand their purpose. They started to understand their destiny. They started to understand they really did have an inheritance. They started to understand that each step that they took, walking in this Exodus move, they were taking one step closer to their inheritance.
That's right.
Amen.
So this was an encounter they had.
Amen.
It wasn't just a natural encounter. When Moses came to Joshua and Caleb, something took place within the veil.
Amen.
Something took place within this man. Something took place that revolutionized their life.
Amen.
That's right.
They could never be the same after they heard this message.
Amen.
Never. They could never. And that's why now, when they were in the wilderness and all these things would start rising up that they didn't understand, that they couldn't explain, and Mr. and Mrs. Critic and Balaam and Dathan and Abiram and Korah would come and try to pull down what they believed, they took it very personally.
Yes.
They took it personally. Because when you were challenging the prophet or challenging the message, you were challenging the very thing that had revolutionized their lives.
Amen.
You were challenging something that was precious to them. You were coming onto something that was sacred, and something that had changed them from what they were. and change them to what they should be. Something which had taken them from a place of no reality of God, no reality of His purpose, no reality of His mind personally for their lives. And now they were walking with this God. Now they were walking with a purpose and a destiny. Now they could put their heads up high. Now they could understand their day. They could understand the circumstances of the day. They could understand modern events. Everything became clear to them when this prophet came their way. And friends, that's how you get a message believer.
Amen.
When a message believer has in culture, these weren't believers.
Amen.
These weren't people that were double-minded.
That's right.
These were people that threw their souls into something because of what the something did to their soul. Something so ministered to their soul.
Hallelujah.
And any message believer here today can wind back now.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you won't understand this unless this happened to you.
That's right.
You were in darkness. You were in confusion. You were trying to seek God. You were trying to serve God. You had no vision. You had no purpose. It just seemed one day would go into the next. That all of these perplexing questions, these deep things inside of you, and you would try to seek for the answers, but there didn't seem to be the answer. And then came the encounter.
Hallelujah.
And when the encounter took place, a spiritual something took place. If you have to put it in message terminology, they saw their names under the seal.
Amen.
The seal broke. The prophet said the seal is a ministry.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
So this ministry, because it wasn't Moses himself, they never had an encounter with Moses.
That's right.
They had an encounter with the one who was veiled in Moses.
Amen.
They had an encounter with the one who commissioned and sent Moses.
Hallelujah.
And when Moses came as the vessel and delivered this message anointed by the pillar of fire, friends, something woke up inside of
Moses. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And it was never going to go back to sleep again. Something changed in them. You couldn't take them back to what they were.
Amen.
They didn't want to be what they used to be. So when now the people are coming and saying, what about this man Moses? Yeah? Let's make a captain and go back to Egypt. They said, what? You want to take me back to that confusion? You want to take me back to what I used to be? They recognize this is the enemy.
Amen.
No matter how convincing the enemy may be, no matter what facts that he would be trying to throw inside of themselves, they knew, I'm not having somebody take me back to what I used to be.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going back to that confusion. I'm not going back to that condition. Never. So no matter what Moses did, they stuck with that plan. Because there's something about it. Whenever God comes down and unseals himself like that, unveils himself to you, does something, ministers that something. It's such a personal something that he does inside of the soul. The prophet says these are those sacred sands. Sacred sands where you meet up with him himself.
Hallelujah.
But friends, you cannot disassociate the vessel that he sends.
Amen.
And the message that he sends.
Amen, amen.
And the experience that you've had. These things were interlinked.
That's right.
These men knew that Moses has been appointed and anointed and commissioned and sent to me.
Amen.
He may not be sent to all the rest of these people, but he was sent to me.
Amen.
And the proof that he was sent to me is, ever since my path crossed with his path, my life has just become what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
I might not be what I'm yet. Want to be. I may not be exactly what I'm supposed to be, but I am sure not what I used to be.
Amen.
And don't try to take me back there. Because I don't want to go back to what I used to be. Friends, that's a testimony of a message, believe me. It's the most precious thing that Christ, the pillar of fire himself, did for you.
Amen.
When he said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet.
Yeah.
He may not be a prophet to other people, but friends, is a prophet to
me. Yeah.
He's Elijah to me. Because of what took place within the veil. I've never been the same since.
Hallelujah.
I had no vision. I have no purpose. I was confused. The Bible confused me. Religion confused me. Until God sent him my way.
Hallelujah.
And when I had this encounter, rapture. It wasn't with the prophet. It was the God who sent the prophet.
Amen.
He came and through that ministry opened the way for me.
Amen.
And my life never changed. And friend, don't try to bring something into my life now to take me back to what I used to be.
Amen.
And don't expect me to give you an ear if you try to do that.
Yes.
You come and sit in my house and you want to criticize something that's precious to me, I'm going to show you the door.
Hallelujah.
I'm not interested in something that's going to pull me back.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Don't come and play around with something which is so precious to me.
Amen.
Which is so personal. It's a sacred sand.
Amen.
This is the most precious thing in my life.
Amen.
I never received something so precious in all my life. This revelation of Jesus Christ has come through the message of the hour.
Amen.
Friends, you're wasting your time with me.
Amen.
Tell you the truth.
Amen.
Many have tried. I don't give them an ear.
Amen.
I'm not interested in dealing with Mr. Unbeliever.
Mm.
If you don't believe this message, that's up to you.
Amen.
But as for me and my house, will serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Not because I'm indoctrinated. But friend, I've never had something made Jesus so real.
Yes, sir. Mm. Amen.
I've never known a ministry made Jesus so real
yes,
to
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
I was in Pentecost. I heard all the prophecies of Benny and Kenneth Hagin and the mighty men of God. I saw the great things that people did. But there were so many questions I had.
Amen.
And they're just fundamentals. Who is God? Is he three? Is he one? Who is God?
Amen. Amen.
We didn't even understand who God was.
Hallelujah.
What a baptism. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know how to correctly and baptize in water.
Yes, sir.
Yet we're throwing our lives, we're throwing our energies, our resources in there. Friends, we were the same as Joshua and Caleb in Egypt.
Amen.
We were God's children, but we were in a confusion.
Amen.
We were God's children, we were in a darkness.
Amen.
And God sent us a great light
yes.
and took us out of that darkness.
Amen.
And then you wonder why we love this message.
Amen.
Why, for 30-something years, every day I've studied this yes. message.
Amen.
That's why you, with your unbelief, you may come and say, William Branham sent this, and my friend, I've read this message for more than
yes.
you.
Yes.
I know what he said.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I know exactly what he said.
Amen.
But I know what happened in my soul.
Hallelujah.
There are certain things I don't
Amen.
Understand.
Amen.
Just like Joshua and Caleb didn't understand certain
Amen.
Things. But that doesn't matter to me.
Amen.
That's between... That's out of the scope of mine own, yeah, my own encounter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one thing that's very, very real, if I just take this message as it is,
yeah.
as the simple message of the hour, God is very good.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And I never lose my vision.
Amen. Amen.
I never lose my purpose.
Amen.
But you've got to be careful who you listen to.
Amen.
Because you can become like John in prison.
Yes, sir.
If you start listening to the spirit of unbelief, your eagle eye starts to form over.
Yeah,
amen.
And something that was so powerful. John had such an encounter with Jesus, who is the message of the hour.
Yeah. Amen.
It's such an encounter, John, with Jesus.
Yeah.
Until he came blasting out that message.
Mm-hmm.
The one that comes is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes.
Amen.
Mm.
He that spoke to me told me, the one you see the Spirit descend on every leg, he's the one.
Amen.
And he comes and he shakes the region. He's the voice proclaiming this message, the voice crying in the
woods.
But my friend, watch out. Because one thing that Satan wants to do is take you away from your absolute.
Yes.
That's right.
Because your encounter gives you an absolute.
Yes.
Amen.
When you have this encounter, like Joshua and Caleb, they found the absolute.
Amen.
They found something solid. They found something they could now build upon.
Yes.
And the thing that Satan fears the most is someone with an absolute.
Amen.
He's going to fight that absolute.
Amen.
Because once you have no absolute, you're like Mount Carmel. How long do you halt between two of them? You know what he's saying? He's saying you're limping, you're halting. You can't walk when you have two opinions. You're limping.
Amen.
Friend, you don't want to be a limping believer.
Amen.
You don't want to be caught between two opinions. You want an absolute.
Amen.
No one else can give you this absolute.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Has to be given to you.
Amen.
This is grace to you when you have this absolute. But John finds himself in prison. And he's questioning the very things that used to be so real to him in times gone by.
Mm.
This question, are you the one to come or should we look for another?
Yeah.
My friend, be careful.
Amen.
Be careful of those kind of situations.
Amen.
Don't put yourself in that kind of a situation. This is what the prophet says when he's speaking about Moses. He says, in fact, I'll just quote what he says first about an absolute. If you go to the next one, please, sister. If you go past that one. An absolute. According to Webster's, it's perfect in itself. This is an absolute. Unlimited in its power. Primarily an ultimate. And an ultimate is the amen. That's all.
Amen.
It's perfect in itself. That's
amen.
All of it. That settles it.
Amen. Amen.
So when Joshua and Caleb met, that's something that broke to them from that spiritual realm. When that pillar of fire commissioned the prophet and came to them and ministered deliverance to them, something was ministered to them. Something took place within them. Something was revealed to them. Something. It wasn't just an intellectual revelation. It was a revelation that had an impact. It brought a transformation. It brought a change. Everything started to change.
Amen.
The way they looked at life started to
Amen.
Change. The way they looked at their day started to change.
Right.
The way they looked at themselves started to change.
Amen.
The way they looked at the people around them started to change.
Mm.
And now they received an absolute. To them they found the ultimate. When they found Jehovah unveiled to them.
Mm.
Yes.
And the Lord revealed himself to their souls in that intimacy. You'll find it in the Bible. There's so many examples. I'll read a few of them. But there's very few times that the Bible explains in depth what took place when someone met God. Because it's sacred.
Amen.
It's so individual.
That's right.
But that visitation and that experience is so customized.
Amen.
To minister to you and to your deep and your needs and your questions.
Yes.
But when you find that something, you might not even be able to put it in words. But Paul, whenever he was challenged about what he believed, Paul had found an ultimate.
Yes, sir.
They found something that perfectly satisfied him. They found something that perfectly answered the questions that he was asking. They found something that perfectly ministered to the deep that was inside of him. And that's whenever he was challenged about this isn't right, or this he isn't the Christ, and so forth. He would say, friends, it doesn't matter what you say. All I can tell you
Hallelujah.
Is what happened to me.
Hallelujah.
All I can tell is what happened to me.
Amen.
Think of Paul. What happened to Paul?
Paul,
he saw the stoning of Stephen.
That's right.
And that convicted him.
Amen.
And he was fighting. And inside of himself, he was saying, they can't be right. These message people can't be right. They can't be right. Something had spoken when Stephen looked up. Father, lay this not to their charge. And died, his face shining like an angel.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That spoke to the soul of Paul.
Amen.
And Paul was resisting. And Paul was fighting. You can almost see the way that he went and became like a maniac after that.
That's right.
Arresting the Christians. He had a frustration. He had a confusion inside of himself. He had been so sure of what he believed. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the strictest sect, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He had been so sure that he met something like a challenge that inside of himself. And something now didn't come to argue with him. Something spoke within the veil.
Amen.
And this man, for months, however it was, he was in a confusion. He was fighting something. He was resisting something. He couldn't understand this. He couldn't understand. How can this Jesus be the Christ? He was crucified. Cursed is he that hangs on the tree. How can it be? He's from Nazareth. No good thing comes from Nazareth. You see, he thinks he's from Nazareth. But the Bible says you'll be born in Bethlehem.
Yes. Hallelujah.
There might have been a lot of things that Paul, when he was looking at the message from the outward point of view, a lot of things he could get ammunition for. But one thing he couldn't account for was the life of that man.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The prophecy thundered out. It was a life that was thundering out in virtue, thundering out in humility. And that life of Stephen and his death, friend, Paul couldn't argue with that. So he had these two things that he's trying to balance. He's trying to understand all of his theology, all that has been taught, all that his fathers have told him is precious. And you can't compromise with these things. There's three sacred things to Paul. There's the temple. There's the law. There's circumcision. And now here's somebody saying, circumcisions of the heart. He's saying you're uncircumcised. That's what Stephen said. He says that Mosai dwells not in temples made of stone. The very foundation, the very ultimate which this man Paul had, which had built his entire future upon, through this one man who had an encounter.
Hallelujah.
He was a witness of an encounter. Yes. This man Stephen.
Amen.
Look, Paul, into confusion. And friend, the man is going like a madman. He's going wild. He's going mad. He's like putting his fingers in his ears. But no, and just going on like that. Until he had his encounter. And then he had an encounter. And something took place. He doesn't speak about what happened inside of himself. He just speaks of what he was commissioned to do.
That's right.
But if you could have sat down with Brother Paul and said, Paul, tell me what happened that day. He would have said, my friend, make sure the atmosphere is
Amen.
Because this is holy ground.
Amen.
Something took place when he spoke to me on that Damascus road. There was such a burden. There was such a deep. There was such a confusion. I had such emotion running up inside of myself. And when he spoke to me,
Hallelujah.
He ministered something to me. And all of a sudden, all of my confusion, he had the answers.
Amen.
He had the answers to all of my great unanswered questions.
Amen.
He now came and ministered deep within the veil. None of my religion, I'd been so faithful. I kept it. I was zealous keeping the law. I was blameless keeping the law. But none of that which I did and none of that which I had in my religion before I had this encounter could minister deep inside of the veil something that would satisfy me. I was never at rest. I was always trying to find some way to please him. I'll try to be more strict in my observance of the law. You know, give me letters and let me go and persecute them even to Damascus. I was trying to do something to find rest, to try to find harmony, to try to find something that would satisfy this yearning inside of myself to say, but what really is my purpose? What really is my destiny? Who really is God? What did he really make me for? I used to ask Gamaliel so many questions. I used to sit at his feet and ask him, but no matter how sincere he was, no matter how good his answers seemed to be, but they never hit that point. They never could come beyond a certain line, a certain veil inside of myself. But when I met him,
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything became new. Everything became new. Since then, I've never been confused. Since then, I've never questioned why I was born.
Amen.
Amen.
When I met him, when I met him, I found my reason and my purpose for being. And that's why, friend, if you would now come and try to speak evil of Jesus or of the message of the day, you wouldn't just speak evil of Paul or of Jesus or of the message, believers. You were challenging Paul's very reason and purpose for being.
Amen.
You were challenging the most secret and the most personal something in the life of this man.
Friend,
that's a message, believer.
Amen.
That's a message, believer.
Amen.
A message, believer can sit there and allow people to trample over the things that you believe.
Amen.
Friend.
Amen.
Would you sit there and somebody speaks evil of your mother?
No.
Of your father?
Amen.
Never do that.
That's right.
You would tell that person, you close your mouth.
Amen.
You're speaking of things you don't understand.
Amen.
This is personal. This is sacred to you.
Amen.
So people want to come and bring evil against the things that we believe. Amen. The soul of a believer rises up.
Amen.
I said you're speaking of something precious to me.
Hallelujah.
This isn't just a doctrine.
Amen.
This isn't just a teaching I received from people.
Mm.
This was an experience.
Amen.
This was an encounter that changed my life.
Hallelujah.
This took me from darkness to light.
Amen.
This brought me to the channel of my destiny.
Amen.
It's given me purpose, reason for being.
Amen.
Oh, friend, I don't give much to people compromise with this message.
Amen.
Amen.
But allow people to say this, that, and the other.
Amen.
Never.
Mm. Amen.
You never had an encounter.
Yes.
That's right.
You like Lot's wife, you were sitting in the midst of the message, but you never had your encounter.
Amen.
Abraham had his encounter, but you never had your encounter.
Hallelujah.
Don't let it stay like that, my friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't let it stay like that. Because when they came out of Egypt, it wasn't only those who had an encounter that came out.
Yes, sir.
It was a mixed multitude.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
There were people there for all sorts of reasons, but many of them thought they were message believers.
Mm.
Many of them thought they believed Moses because maybe they saw the pillar of fire, or they'd been ministered to through deliverance, and they had come out under those first two pools of his ministry, the delivering part. But friends, when the going got tough in the wilderness, because the wilderness is the testing time.
Amen.
He says that an ever-present water from the rock, he takes you out, he delivered them, and he brought them straight to the wilderness.
That's right.
He brought them straight to a horrible dry place. It was a testing time. And he says, and before you can enter into your inheritance, he brings every believer to that testing time.
That's right.
And as the people now came into the testing time, those who had never had this encounter that I'm speaking of, those that have never had the sacred something that you can't define in words, but you can only define it through your own experience of it. There was a multitude that never had that. They'd just grown up being taught things. Their parents had told them things. But they'd never had this encounter themselves. And every single one of those people, everyone without a fail, something in the wilderness caught up with them.
Amen.
Amen.
Every single one.
Yes, sir.
Because they never had an absolute. They never had an ultimate.
Amen.
They never had something inside them that settled it for them.
Amen.
Like Brother Billy Paul in his testimony always says that one thing which is so true. He says, when I found my wife, I stopped searching.
Amen.
Because you found an ultimate to you.
That's right.
She may not be the ultimate to somebody else, but that's the ultimate to you. That's exactly what you need.
Amen.
You found something that just satisfies in that realm of the human maker.
Amen.
You found exactly what God wanted for you.
Amen.
And then he goes on and he says, and when I found this message, I stopped looking.
Amen.
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 You've stopped looking.
Yes. Amen.
If you're still looking, you're not yet a message.
Yes. Amen.
I hope today will be your day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So you can say from that time,
Amen.
I was a message.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, friends,
Amen.
If you're searching for this and searching out that, what about this ministry? What about that ministry?
Amen.
There's a spiritual deficiency.
Amen.
There's not sufficient spiritual vitamins within
Amen.
The veil.
Amen.
Something hasn't yet been ministered there that needs to be ministered there. If you expect to make it all the way through this wilderness journey to the fullness of your inheritance, you have to have an absolute.
Yes.
Amen.
You have to have an ultimate. You have to have a something that settles it for you.
Yes.
It may not settle it for the person sitting next to you, but for you, it settles it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're not looking anymore.
Amen.
Friends, it's not an indoctrination.
No.
It's a revelation.
Amen.
It's an experience. It's not an emotion.
Hallelujah.
It's an encounter that you have. Sometimes it's unexpected.
That's right.
It's an unexpected meeting. Maybe an
unexpected time, an unexpected place, in an unexpected way. But it does something to you that you will never be the same.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The prophet says on those sacred sands, he ministers something to you that all the devils in hell will not be able to take away.
That's right.
So let's be honest, friends.
Yes, sir.
If you hear someone who was a pastor and a message for 30 years, and then they leave, did they ever have an encounter?
No.
Did they ever have an encounter? Can you see how treacherous this is?
That's right.
That's how we need to remember Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife was in the end time prophecy. We need to remember that it's not enough just to associate around it. It's not enough to be married into it.
Yes.
It's not enough to be in the right place.
Amen.
When something has to happen within the veil.
Amen.
And if you question this message, you question, is William Branham Malachi 4:5? It's impossible for you to walk with him.
Yes. That's right.
Because Elijah said it, how long do you halt? Limp between two opinions. And James tells us, a double-minded man receives nothing of the
world. That's right.
You don't know which way to go. You get a bit convinced for a while in the message. You use some of your resources. Something happens in the wilderness. Moses marries a Midianite woman. Oh, I thought that was the message. Back you go down to Egypt again. Yeah? You get back into all Egyptian customs, all Egyptian religion. It doesn't satisfy you anymore. Because you know too much from where you've been.
That's right.
Now you're caught halting between two opinions. That's why Elijah had to bring them to Mount Carmel. They needed to be an encounter.
Hallelujah.
The only way to stop people from halting between two opinions is to bring them to an encounter.
Amen.
He who answers with fire.
Yes.
And there were 7,000 that when that manifestation came, it wasn't just a manifestation out there or fire from heaven coming and consuming an altar. There was a manifestation within the veil.
Amen.
Amen.
Because friend, it's not the sign, it's the voice of the sign.
That's right.
It changes the lives of people. So many people, they say they believe the sign. Yeah? But they never believe the voice of the sign.
Amen.
And the voice of the sign comes when you have that encounter. It's something that speaks to you. Something that speaks deeper to you. That's why it's something that's perfect in itself. It's not perfect to other people. Because they've never had this encounter.
That's right.
But to you, it's perfect. It's perfectly what you need. Friends, the message doesn't answer every question in this Bible. But it answers all the questions that I need.
Amen.
That's what Elijah was sent for. He wasn't sent to come and answer all the questions in the Bible. He came to answer the questions that we needed to be asked.
Amen.
And if he didn't answer, it's not important.
That's right.
It's not important. It's so easy to get caught up in the insignificant things. And that's what Satan wants us to do. The prophet continues on, if you have the next one about absolute, and you put the next slide, sister. He says, Satan will do his best to get among you.
Amen.
Don't you let that happen.
Amen.
Some slick tongued fellow might come along and try to take you away from it. You think you could talk Moses out of the presence of God? Where he had stood there and seen it? Let's think of Moses. But before we understand how precious this encounter was to Moses at the burning bush, let's see what Moses was before the encounter. If there was ever a person that was discouraged, it was Moses.
That's right.
Because he was told all these promises in the days of his youth. He's told from his mother's knee that God is real, God's hand is upon you. God delivered you from the Nile. God raised you up in Pharaoh's house for a purpose. And then it goes out, but he's not had an encounter yet. He doesn't have an absolute yet. Nothing yet's worked within the veil. And he has his disappointments. And friends, in the wilderness journey, there's so many disappointments.
Oh, that's right.
One of these disappointments is going to catch you down the way somehow. It's just a matter of time. Moses had his disappointments. And he goes to the backside of the desert, out there in the wilderness, for 40 years. And you can imagine the deep questions in the heart of this man. Put yourself in his shoes. You can, because you were there as well. I was there.
Amen.
But we had all these questions. He said, but I thought my mother told me that I was born for a purpose. It shouldn't have worked out this way.
Amen.
Why has my life come to this? Is this what my life was supposed to come? I had such a hope. I had such an expectation in the days of my youth. I believed, I thought these things were real. I thought this message which this angel came down and delivered to Amram, to my mother, my father, my mother. I thought it was so real. Bless God. Is the people still suffering down there? Being whipped in the mud pits. Look at me here. Raising the machine. You will question his purpose. He would have questioned his destiny. He would have questioned, what does God think about me now? I know that he's real, but what does he think about me now?
You know,
where do I stand with God? He might have many, many times thought, no, I don't. I need to get things back on course. And then he'd be out there with the sheep made in the coolness of things. And he'd think to himself, but how am I going to do it? I don't even know where to start. I can't go back to Egypt. What made the difference, right?
Amen.
Was that encounter?
Yes.
Amen.
Was that burning bush?
Amen.
And when the burning bush came, there's only a few words that it spoke, which are recorded in the Bible. I'm telling you, inside of his heart, there were a lot more words.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was such personalized ministration that when he came into the presence of the purifier and God spoke to him in that encounter, all of these perplexing questions, all these things of his disappointment, his frustration, everything evaporated in the presence of the Lord. When he came from that encounter, friends, he knew he was.
Amen.
That's what Paul said. For this purpose have I appeared to you.
Amen.
To send you as a minister and as a witness of the things that you have seen and of the things that I will reveal to you. When Moses came from that encounter, friends, he didn't have confusion anymore.
Amen.
Something was renewed inside of his soul.
Amen.
He was like a new man. He now had a vision. He now had a purpose. He now knew his destiny. This encounter ministered him right back into the channel of his personal destiny. The reason that he was born.
Amen.
So when Balaam rises up, and Dathan and Abram right from the midst of the message of the hour, and he challenges what he believes. You think Moses is going to be talked out of it by some slick-tongued fellow? It was too important to Moses.
Amen.
This was the most precious thing that had ever happened to Moses.
Amen.
This was the pivotal event in his life.
Amen.
He could measure before the encounter and after the encounter.
Amen.
And every believer can put their life in those two categories. Before the encounter and after the encounter. And when something wants to come to try to pull you back to there, the soul of a believer says, no way.
Hallelujah.
No way. I'm not going back into that.
Amen.
Friends. Paul says, we are not of them that draw back.
Amen.
Unto perdition. But we are of them that go all the way to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
Moses was never going to be satisfied. That's what the prophet says. You think you could talk Moses out of the presence of God? We had stood there and seen it? No, sir, no. You could never.
Amen.
And that's how you will never deceive the elect.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You will never.
Amen.
You will confuse the elect.
Yeah.
Yes. Now the confused may be, the elect may be confused for a season.
Amen.
But just let them wait upon the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And that compass, like we said, hits back towards the north. Back towards the North Star. Because that's what this encounter does for you. Look in Proverbs. The next one there, please, sister. Look in Proverbs 4. It's the same principle. David said to Solomon, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
this message into a life when I fast.
Amen.
It was real life. Before I had life, but now I found real life.
Amen.
I found the purpose for life. I find my own, I found myself in the message of the hour.
Amen.
I couldn't find myself before. But when this encounter came my way, I found myself there. When the seal was broken up, there I was under the seal.
Amen.
Yeah. You were there too.
Yeah. Amen.
Every message believer. And that's what the encounter does to you.
Hallelujah.
It's not a theory, that's a reality.
Amen.
That's an absolute reality. It's life to those who follow. Now the next verse on the next slide, I put it big. It gives a warning. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life.
Yes.
Be careful what you allow to come and trample within the veil.
Yes, sir.
Be careful of what you allow to come to minister to that place. Because out of that very place, that absolute, that ultimate, that's where all the issues of your life are issued forth from.
Amen.
That's the divine resource that is given you. So you will become what you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen.
But the prophet says that in the absolute, he says, Satan will try everything he can to get you away from that. He will work overtime to try to get you away from that absence. You've got to be careful with it. Otherwise, like I said, you become like John in prison. So when we ask ourselves, what is a message believer? A message believer is the product of an encounter.
Hallelujah!
A message believer is a product of an encounter.
Amen.
An encounter with Christ in your age.
Yes.
Amen.
In every age, he sent his message.
Yeah. Amen.
His name is, his life is in that message. That's the place that he chose to place his name. And you would have been religious before, you could have done a lot of other things before. But friend, when you come to that something. And friend, like I say, it's hard to put it in words. It's hard to describe it in words. Like when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, he tried to explain and he tried to use all these adjectives to describe it. And then he says, you just have to be there.
Amen.
That's the only way you'll understand it. You just have to be there.
Amen.
But that's what produces a message to you that is an encounter. And nothing else. It's not teaching people.
Amen.
No,
amen.
We can convince you, and someone can convince you the other.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We can indoctrinate you, and then someone indoctrinates you with something different.
Amen.
We can persuade you, and there's people out there, some slick-tongued fellow who's going to persuade you different.
Yes.
But once you've had this encounter, you have an absolute settled.
Amen.
Other people will speak and confuse your mind, but deep within the veil, that's settled on
table.
It's a rock. Upon this rock would I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevent.
Amen.
Cannot prevent. But anything else that you're building on, Lot's wife was building on sinking sand. She built a house on the sand. She could show you the lovely walls and the wallpaper. But come and see the house that I built in the message. That wasn't the important thing. The most important thing was the foundation.
Amen.
What was the foundation that she was building upon?
Hallelujah.
That's right.
She never had the absolute. Don't let it stay like that.
Amen.
Don't let it stay like that because it's only a matter of time.
Amen.
That's what you end up looking at photos on the computer one day and will say, oh, you remember him. Oh, he was a nice person. Do you remember her? Do you remember him? It's true, friend.
Amen.
Go get your photo, you can see for yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
You'll find many assembly. That person was with us for quite some time. I remember giving message books. I remember that person coming for prayer. You know what? God's wife and movement goes to what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Because it has to come to an encounter. It has to. An expectation. Listen to what he says if you go to the next one, sister. It says, as I mentioned here the other night, you usually get what you expect, don't you? If you come tonight to the meeting just expecting to see something that you could criticize the meeting about, the devil will show you plenty of it.
Amen.
You'll go back with a lot of criticism, just like you expected.
Amen.
So if you get on the internet and you want to find a lot of things to criticize the message, you're going to get what you expect. You're going to find plenty of criticism. But now the believer, you go to the next one, sister. But if you come tonight expecting, just say, Lord, I come to see you.
Amen.
Amen. I come for the benefit.
Amen.
To be healed.
Amen.
I came for the benefit of my soul.
Amen. And,
well, I expect you to give it to me.
Amen.
Because I'm here in this place that's dedicated to your glory.
Amen.
You'll get just what you expect.
Amen.
You'll get what you expect, my friend. If you came here today expecting nothing, you'd have got nothing.
Amen, amen.
But if you came expecting an encounter,
hallelujah.
Amen.
I guarantee you'll never be the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you have an expectation to say, Lord, I've come for you to minister to my soul.
Yes.
Lord, you've ministered to my mind so many times. I fed my intellect. I fed my own intelligence. I fed on in that realm of my human spirit, but Lord,
amen.
I'm still not what I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
Won't you come and minister to my soul?
Amen.
Lord, won't you lead me to an encounter with you? Lord, let it be so precious and so special that like Paul, I'll say, I wasn't able to speak of it for 15 years.
Amen.
Because there were things that I saw and things that I experienced that were so precious, it's not lawful for men to speak of these things.
Amen.
That's what an encounter is. That's what an encounter is. John chapter 6, verse 67.
Amen.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Because the message of every age, it has plenty of things that are said or done to thin down the numbers of
them. Amen.
What happened in the Exodus?
Amen.
The first Exodus, and now Jesus is in the second Exodus. And he comes and he says some extremely difficult things to swallow.
Amen.
We saw that track. Eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Amen.
If you don't eat my flesh, you have no life inside. Amen. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. To our sense, we rejoice in reading that. Hey, this is wonderful. But imagine if you've been there.
Yes.
Imagine, you didn't know really who Jesus was. And here comes this man standing in front of the people saying, if you want eternal life, you're celebrating the manna that fell in the wilderness. They all died there. All your fathers are dead. If you want life, my flesh is life.
Amen.
My blood is drinking.
Amen.
There was Peter, James, John, Matthew. Don't tell me they understood.
No. Amen.
They completely didn't understand what was being preached. That day.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, today you took a tough one. This is hard. And then the 70 now, the make-believers. The unbelievers have long. Sorry, the unbelievers, the 70, this was enough for them.
Yeah.
This is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Off they go. And then Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, will you go also? And the answer was just so simple.
Amen.
Yes. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord,
amen.
Amen.
When are you going to go?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You don't understand this and that and that. Okay, good. But where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to find something like this? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to TB Joshua? Yeah. Are you going to go to TB Jakes? Are you going to go to Benny Hinn? Are you going to go to Joyce Meyer? There's lots of ministries out there, friend.
That's right.
But where will you go? Where will you go? To me, there's no way for me to go.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
This is too precious to my soul. Amen. This has answered every question I ever had.
Amen.
This opened my eyes to Jesus Christ, the Savior of my soul.
Amen.
This set me on the course of my destiny. This gave me vision. This gave me purpose. This, whenever I'm down, it ministers me up.
Amen.
Whenever I feel like giving up, it speaks to me. I feel like carrying on.
Amen.
And he told me I must leave this. Find a more fruitful field.
Amen.
Because maybe I'm not the best case. And lots of people are not the best case that you should be trying to use your resources and your energy. No. Where should be the why? Because you have the words of
eternal life. Amen.
Ever since I heard your words, I never understand what you're saying now. But ever since I came in contact with you, Jesus, ever since I had that first encounter with you, I've never been the same.
Amen.
Where should I go?
Amen.
Now I'm going to hang around, and I'm sure you'll explain some of this.
Amen.
That's amazing, and I believe it should be. Don't be too quick to jump. Don't be too quick to this, that, and the other way. If there's criticism, God knows how to answer the critique.
Amen.
God's big enough to defend his own word.
Amen.
If he sent a message and it's put in question, let's refer it to him. Amen. He's the one who defends his truth.
Amen.
He's the one who defends his truth. Now let's look at the book of John. John is the eagle. Now Jesus, it says, he turned to the 12.
Yeah.
And then he says to Simon Peter, Simon Peter speaks, and he says, will you go also? And then Simon Peter speaks as a spokesman.
Mm.
For all the rest, you've had an encounter. Yeah, that's who he's speaking. He's saying, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, let's go and see why Peter said that.
Mm.
Why did those disciples think like that?
Amen.
Let's go to John chapter 1.
Amen.
John chapter 1. Let's see how the encounter unfolds itself. Where does it start, this great encounter of the message of the hour? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God.
Amen.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So the encounter we're speaking about is not an encounter with the prophet.
No.
Although you can't separate
him
from. Because he's the prophet is the witness, we'll see, the messenger of the encounter.
Mm.
He's the friend of the bridegroom, like John the Baptist. Yeah? He is the one that comes to take the bride and introduces her to the encounter.
Mm.
That's what a prophet sent for, friends.
Amen.
John the Baptist came, yeah, we'll see it. Let's read. John 1. So the encounter we're speaking about is with the Word.
Mm.
Now, it's not just with that Word. It's with the Lord.
Amen.
The living word, the word himself.
Amen.
He who came out of the great eternity. Yeah? He who came in, fashioning himself into a theophany.
Amen.
A pillar of light. That's what he comes. It says in verse 4, in him was life.
Amen.
So when you meet him, you find life.
Amen. Yeah.
You never know what life is until you meet him.
Yeah.
And his life. You have an encounter with life. When the word, the anointed word, comes with the message of your day, Jesus is the message of every hour. Then the message comes to his life. That's when you encounter life. Because in him was life. And the life was the light of man. Oh, friend, that's how you never walk in darkness.
Amen.
Once you've had this encounter, you're now walking in the light.
Amen.
He's now shining light upon your path. So when somebody comes and says, no, stop doing that. Let's go back into this darkness you're in before, my friend. I'm not that interested in it.
Amen.
Verse 6. There was a man sent from God. His name was John.
Amen.
So you can't separate Elijah and the encounter.
Amen.
Because you're going to have Elijah come on the scene, John. You have the prophet to bear witness.
Yeah.
He's got to come and he's got to bring a message to prepare people for the encounter.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what he's going to do. His name was John. The same came for a witness. To bear witness of the light. In our age, when our John came to us. Brother, Elijah.
Amen.
When he came to us. When he came to bear witness of the light, it wasn't just words. John preached and did no miracles. Remember?
Amen.
But in this age, friends, what are we can see?
Amen.
The witness of the light.
Amen.
Since the great light himself, Jesus, there's never been a greater manifestation of the light. And here came somebody who was a witness of the light. Coming in the spirit of Elijah. Why? The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That all men through him might believe.
Yes.
Can you see that you cannot separate the messenger and his message? In your age, you are not going to find this encounter. You can't find this encounter except from the message of the Lord. There's no other way.
That's right.
Verse 8, but it shows clearly, friends, because there's people sometimes go overboard, want to worship the witness. He was not that light.
Amen.
Amen.
But he was to send to bear witness to the light.
Amen.
That was his ministry. So John goes out now. And John blasts forth with his message and he bears witness of the light. And he is a bright and shining light. And people were walking in his light. And then in verse 35. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Amen.
And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Now friends, it's good, but it's not enough.
Amen.
They're following the light, but they haven't yet had an encounter.
Amen.
So the message has come now and has introduced them to the light. And they start following the light. But they haven't even had their encounter. And until they have the encounter, they have no absolute.
Amen.
They need to have the encounter. Then Jesus, verse 38, turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Master, where dwellest thou?"
Amen.
Guys, this isn't just a passing something. When something draws your attention, when something starts to open up to you, when you start, when somebody points you and says, "That is the light," and something moves inside of you, you start to walk, to follow that light, give it time.
Amen.
I said, "Where do you dwell?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now the interesting thing about this, it doesn't tell us anything that happened there within the night. The only way that we're going to know there's an encounter is by the resulting times.
Amen.
Amen.
Look what happened straight after that. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah."
Amen.
Which has been interpreted by Christ.
Amen.
You see, this encounter is so personal. But this did something. And the proof that you know this man within that dwelling place with Christ had an encounter is he was never the same.
Amen.
Never the same. Something ministered to him. He had all of his questions like the rest. They were all puzzled about religion. They were like the woman at the well. They didn't understand a lot of things.
Amen.
Where should we worship? How should things be done? When the Messiah comes, is he coming on a cloud? Is he coming as a man? There's a lot of things they never understood. But as soon as they went in and were shut in with him, and something started to unveil itself to them within that place, there was no question.
Amen.
He came out of there and he bore witness and says, "We found the Messiah." We found the Messiah. And then he brings Peter to him in the next verse. And Peter has his encounter. And he says, "Your name is Simon. Your father's name is Jonah. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which my interpretation system. Now, friends, when Jesus spoke those words in the Bible, it's just recorded as a short sentence. Mm. But this was so profound. What took place inside of Peter.
Amen.
When he speaks, sometimes it doesn't seem to be a lot of words that are recorded. Mm. But every question that Peter had, every doubt, everything, when he stood in the presence of the light, when he stood in the presence of the anointed word, and he spoke personally to him, called him by name. It was the same as Moses at the burning bush. It was the same as Paul on the Damascus road. Everything fell into place.
Amen.
Everything he couldn't understand before. Everything he wondered about himself. He didn't have the full picture. But something struck him. On those sacred sands. Because friends, he can't speak to you personally, yourself. But you're going to do the same.
Amen.
That's right.
It's impossible. And each of these disciples, as you read the first few chapters of John, they had that encounter. Except for one of them.
Yes.
Amen.
Judas.
Amen.
There's no record in the Bible of Judas having an encounter.
That's right.
Where was Judas called? Jesus comes to Matthew. Imagine just those two words. Follow me.
Amen. Amen.
You can't explain what happened to the man.
Amen. Amen.
But here was a man with a conviction for his guilty for the theft, his corruption, his crookedness, betraying his people as a tax collector.
Amen.
The defiled, the most despised of all of the Jews. Here was a man feeling dirty on the outside. Yet there's something deep inside of him that's looking for expression.
Amen.
He tries going to the synagogue, the people look down at him. He tries going here, tries going there, tries, but if I could just get a fresh start somehow. I don't want to live this life like this. I'm ashamed what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be a son of Abraham. How can I live this kind of life? But I'm trapped in this. I don't know how to get myself out. Just two words. Two words.
Amen.
Follow me. Something worked inside.
Amen.
There was a spiritual encounter that took place when he received these words.
Amen.
And there was something that came and spoke deep within himself.
Amen.
Like Paul says, time would fail us. We take Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, another tax collector, and crook, and grumpy man.
Yeah.
Impatient. You go and read about Zacchaeus. But he had a wife who had an encounter. One of the greatest privileges you can have is somebody you married to who's had an encounter. Because they're never going to rest until you have your encounter.
Amen.
And the prophet says her name was Rebecca, and she prayed and interceded for her husband to have an encounter. And then Zacchaeus that day, he just was feeling strange. Maybe there were tears in his eyes, and he was walking down the road saying, it can't go on like this. I can't continue living like this. That doesn't make sense. I thought when I got these riches, I thought when I got all these things, it would minister to this deep that's inside of me. Then I thought if I can just get more of this, or if I can just have more of that. But the more that I get and the more that I do, the more confused that I am. The more disparate that I am.
Amen.
Is this all life has for me? And then he hears that Jesus is coming. And he gets up in a tree. And he has a dream. And Jesus himself, the light, the word, speaks personally to him.
Amen.
And he calls him by name.
Amen.
And says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat at your house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's an appointment, friends. It was his appointed time for an encounter.
Amen.
He was never the same.
Amen.
It changed him straight away. He has Jesus that day in his house.
Amen.
Some people take 6 months, a year to set their things right with him.
Amen.
That man that day. Master, I take half of my goods I give them to the poor. Every person I've cheated, I'm going to repay them fourfold.
Amen.
Jesus says, I tell you, today, salvation has come to this
earth.
He also is the son of Abraham. But it needs an encounter, friends. The message has got to be a spiritual something within the veil.
Amen.
There's got to be a transaction that takes place between that realm where there's all truth, where there's all understanding, where everything makes sense, where everything is under control, and your little world inside of your soul, where there's turmoil and confusion. Sometimes people get right to the brink of suicide. Now within the veil, it gets so confusing, so depressing, the devil comes in.
There's only one answer.
What's this encounter? Because when that something is ministered from beyond the veil, and it comes in, moves in that mysterious way within your veil, and it starts to minister, it's balm again.
Amen.
It's the living waters. It's something, and it just brings something to life, and all things start to become new. People ask you to explain, how did it become new? You can't explain it in words. The only way you can explain it is you've got to have that experience yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's come to a close. These are all life-changing experiences and encounters that we were speaking about. Where I got this thought from was, I thought, let me go listen to all the testimonies of the people that were with the prophet.
Amen.
And I went to Brother Dawson, right? I found a new testimony of his that he made just before he died.
Amen.
And then I got back onto Brother Biscoe. And Brother Biscoe was so confused.
Yes.
You wonder why he's such a witness of this message.
Amen.
Why do you stand the way that he did? 82 years old now. But he had questions. He had heard people say bad things about Brother Brennan and what he taught. And he says, it sunk into my heart like a weight. There was a burden. People came and said, this man came and said, have you heard what William Brennan's teaching about Cain and the son of the serpent? And Mr. said, I said to him, where does he get that? He says, and I went and looked at my Bible, in Genesis 4, and I saw Eve saying, Abel was born, she said, I've received a man from the Lord. She again bare a son Abel, and said, I've received a man from the Lord. It's clear in the Bible. He says, and in our denomination, there was a lot of confusion about the Godhead. He said, I spoke to people, some said he's one, some said he's three. He said, the close friend of mine said it's two. He said, and that was stacked up inside of my heart. He says, and then what is baptism? He said, some people were baptizing in the name of Jesus, some were baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, I was a young minister. I am 27 years old. How am I supposed to baptize people? He says, so that day, Brother Bud Southwick came to me and says, a strange Canadian government wants to give me a big trench of land, franchise of land upon the Laskin Highway. So I don't know why they want to give it to me. And this minister's in the house with him, is visiting him, says, ah, Brother Brown loves to hunt. Why don't you take it from the government and invite Brother Brown to come to hunt?
Amen.
Brother says, me, a 27-year-old nobody. He says, but I got a piece of paper, pencil, wrote a letter, best that I could send it off. I've been here for more than a year. He says, and I have these deep questions. He said, I'd made up my mind that no matter what manifestation was in the ministry of this man, but if he spoke contrary to the word, I could never accept it.
Amen.
He says, and then Brother Ram, I got a phone call from Billy Paul.
Amen.
I says, my dad would love to come out. So he says, he met and so forth, you know the story. He says, we had the meetings in Dawson Creek, had the meetings at Fort St. John, saw these great manifestations. Now, you will not commit suicide, soldier, one of those things. Just finally, meeting's over, we headed off the Alaska Highway, got your brother Bud south, and they're heading into the woods. He said, I had these deep questions inside. He says, and that day, Brother said, Brother Eddie, let's go and see if we can get some camp meat. Let's go and see if we can shoot a prairie. And this other brother, Chris Bird, says, I'll come along with you. Then he said, oh, no, let me stay. He said, that's the way that it was supposed to be. He says, and so we started walking out in the wilderness. He said, it was just such a lucky day. And there was a log, and he says, we walked down, and just spontaneously we both sat down on this log.
He says, and here I was, so confused. He said, I was so wound up inside of myself with this question. He says, he put his arm around me. And he said, Brother Eddie, I love you like a son. Mm-hmm. If there's anything I can do to help you, just ask. Mm-hmm. I asked him, Brother, how did these visions come? And the prophet started to explain. He says, and we started to get into that. He says, and then came the culminating point in my life. He said, he looked at me. And he said, Valeria, you see that mountain over there? I was riding with Bud, behind Bud on the horses this afternoon. And he came to me.
Amen.
And I believe you have three questions.
Amen.
You want to ask me about the serpency? You want to ask me about water baptism?
Amen.
And you want to ask me about the God.
Amen.
Friends, that seems a simple thing.
Amen.
But what happened in the middle of the night?
Hallelujah.
This
Amen.
Was a transformation.
Amen.
But Brother Biscuit said, I had this question. I said, but Brother Ramit says, Genesis 4, verse 2, whatever. She again bear a son and called his name Abel. And Brother says, that's exactly the truth.
Amen.
But you need to read verse 1.
Amen.
And then I realized I'd missed it.
Amen.
And says, because I'm 20. He says, it never struck me right away. He says, but something changed.
Amen.
And he said to me, Brother Eddie, no man can reveal these things to you.
Amen.
So I'll pray for you, and you pray, and God will reveal it to you.
Amen.
And something struck, and something took light. That's why if you come to somebody like that, and you say to them, that doctrine of the serpent seed is wrong. That person's going to give you an ear.
Mm.
But it makes sense. If that person comes and says, that's why the Jew people baptized in the water is not right. Friend, there's an encounter.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Something spoken from the realm of truth.
Mm.
The great light himself has come down. And has personally ministered to those questions that you had.
Amen.
Yes, there may be other things that you don't understand, other things that you can't explain at this time. But just keep walking in the light.
Amen.
That's all that you've got to do.
Amen.
I'll just finish with a couple of quotes.
Amen.
If you listen to the testimony of Brother Richard Milligan, I'm sure some of the saints, many of you brothers.
Amen. Have,
there was a right-hand man to Benny Hinn.
Mm.
And he used to travel around with Benny Hinn, and he so much experienced that anointing and that delivering power of Benny Hinn.
Hallelujah.
And in the end, he himself became a minister under Benny Hinn. And he had great revival for 12 years. And then one day he had an encounter. He had an encounter
Hallelujah.
With a message believer.
Amen.
And he says, Richard Milligan says, in our denomination, he said, we were so confused. He says, Paul said in the Bible, comfort one another with these words, speaking of the coming of the Lord. He says, but there was no comfort in our denomination with those words. It was a confusion that they
brought. Amen.
Because some believed he was coming before the rapture, some believed he was coming after the rapture, some believed he was coming in the middle of the rapture. Nobody understood. And I went to my pastor, I said, Pastor, what do we believe about the rapture? And the pastor said, I don't know. That's why we bring this minister who believes this and this minister who believes that, so that you can make up your own mind.
Wow.
He said, that was a deep thing. He says, and then we met this brother, Brother Arnold, who was a message believer.
Mm.
He says, and I fought him for 6 years. I fought against the light. He says, and one day I had such an interest in the shadows and types of the Bible.
Mm.
And that brother told me, you know, you preach like Brother Branham sometimes. He used types.
Mm.
And Brother Richard Milligan said, I had such a hunger and a thirst inside of my soul to know more of these types. So one day, I phoned that brother and I asked him, would you be able to send me some of that material of William Branham?
Mm.
He says, that brother sent me a shoebox for you.
Yes, sir.
He says, the first thing I took out of that book was Boxers of the Church.
Yes.
I've
said it
several times before. He says, and I just opened, my wife was sitting, and I just opened on a page and I started to read. And it was the prophet speaking about you.
Mm.
He says, as I started to read, the first thing I read was Joseph dismissed his wife to the palace. Then he revealed himself to his brethren.
Amen.
He says, it was like a light bulb went off inside of me.
Mm.
He said, there it was. This great mystery, this great confusion, Alleluia. This great something that was boiling inside of the souls of so many of us.
Amen.
Just in one little quote, Amen. This man had unveiled something which all of our great theologians couldn't explain.
Amen.
That's the power of the light, friends. It might just be a small thing like, follow me.
Amen.
But it'll be so powerful because it ministers to you.
Amen.
Amen.
And then he finished off and he says, I'd went around all the world seeking answers. But all the people, the ministers I spoke to, were the same as me.
Mm.
This is why. Because they've never been to a message church.
Amen.
They never knew that they existed.
Hallelujah.
They've never met the witnesses of the encounter.
Amen.
Amen.
That never met the witnesses of the truth, the light. But the moment that he did, something started to change. And then he finished off and he says, the questions of my youth were answered.
Hallelujah.
He said, we've been bumping into the sixth dimension. But he found people in the message were living.
Amen.
He says, you were living in heavenly places.
Yeah.
He says, you were at rest in what you believed.
Yeah.
He says, you don't know the confusion we were in trying to work something out to find favor with God.
Yeah.
And then he finishes off and he says, you people need to realize this is more than a church.
Yeah.
He says, this isn't a church. This is a gathering of people.
Amen.
That's what makes the church, right?
Amen.
We're not just a denomination here. We're not people that have just gathered under the auspices of some man-made program. I'm here today, and you here today because you had an encounter.
Amen. Amen.
Because we have an absolute.
Amen.
Because we've met Christ in our age.
Amen.
Because he's revealed himself the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Because we experience something that changed us and will never be the same.
Amen.
And we have so much in common. Let's not worry about the insignificance.
Amen. Amen.
Let's not worry about the secondary. And he said it's difficult. It was difficult to go after he got this light to the ministers in his denomination. He says because they have nothing to compare it with.
Amen.
And there's many people born in the message don't realize that.
Amen.
They don't have anything to compare this message with. They've always just been here in the message. But when you were in Egypt before, my friend,
Amen.
When you were back down there and then something came and transformed you,
Amen.
And brought you into this.
Amen.
After this, the differences between night and
day.
Amen.
That's a first time something.
Amen.
Amen.
If you've never had this encounter, I urge you to seek it.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Don't just seek for more understanding,
Amen.
More knowledge, and more doctrine, but seek Him.
Amen.
The one who's veiled behind this world. The one who's the only one who has the jurisdiction to come onto those sacred sands inside of your soul, to come and witness and minister to you. That personal something. That will change you from what you are.
Amen.
And set you on this.
Hallelujah.
And make you what you're supposed to
be. Amen.
Let's go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's not the kind of worship we're looking for. You search your own heart. Just ask yourself sincerely, where am I?
Amen.
Have I had this encounter? We are here to worship. We are here to serve Him. We are here to be witness of the
Lord. That's what the angel wants. That's why we are here to worship. I don't know, but I think that's what He wants.
Lift our hands and sing. From my
Gershon sings some Johnny's bass. I don't know what's happening with it.
Something holding you back from this encounter.
Amen.
If there's questions, if there's trouble, confusion inside of your soul, it doesn't have to stay like that.
Amen.
Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He has the answer. So why don't you come and we pray together and we seek Him.
Amen.
And ask Him to come within the veil and start to minister within. So that you can move on towards your destiny.
Amen.
If there's something holding you back, lay it on the altar. And say, Lord, I want to surrender this to you because I want to go on. I'm tired of being at this mountain. I want to move
on.
As we all pray, why don't you feel free? Come forward.
Sing, there are lands awaiting.
Reality.
Sunday morning we'll be together with Brother Alex, and then the following weekend on Sunday Brother Tommy's going to be with us. So please, let's keep those meetings in prayer. Let's sing one more and ask Brother Max to come.
A good report. Hallelujah to the Lord. Sorry. I believe a good report. Hallelujah to the Lord.
Life of God. that it will feed us every day, Lord. The Lord, our focus, oh Lord, will always be upon the word of God. Not looking outside, oh Lord, because looking outside is death, Lord Jesus. Father, let every focus now be upon your word of God. Oh Father, that's our plea in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for our pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, glory to your name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, every time we come here, Lord,
amen.
Oh, there is something prepared, oh God,
amen,
for us.
Amen.
Father, we commit it to your hands,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
The Lord, as he leads the church of God, Father, he needs, Lord, your support, God. He needs your anointing, Lord. Oh, he needs your leadership, of God. And Father, we commit it into your hands, Lord, against any works of the enemy. The Lord, you sustain him, Lord, and his family, Lord Jesus. We commit all the officers in this house, Lord, into your hands. Lord, grant them, O Lord Jesus, the same leadership, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, even every husband, every wife, every youth, every child here, Lord Jesus, we believe this day, Lord God. No one is standing behind Jordan.
Amen.
We have crossed over, Lord.
Amen.
So, Lord Jesus, open now, Lord, the knees of your children, Lord.
Amen.
There are many, oh God, oh still, Lord, looking forward, oh God, seeking, Lord, your presence in their lives.
Amen.
There are requests, oh God, that is still unfulfilled, Lord.
Amen.
But they are still trusting in you.
Amen.
Lord, all things are possible.
Amen.
And that believe. So, Lord, meet each and everyone according to your riches and glory.
Amen.
The needs of your children, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Their requests this day they brought into your house,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Father, meet them, Lord.
Amen.
Grant them, Lord Jesus, oh Lord. And Father, we will always carry all our testimonies,
Amen.
And bring to glorify your name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, even as you brought us in, we know that you are our Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you have been the beginning. Now, Lord Jesus, as we are going home, grant us once again journey mercy,
Lord.
Lord. And even Father, we commit all other road users, Lord, into your hands.
Amen.
Keep each and everyone safe, Lord,
Amen.
To our destinations, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, when we go back to our process, let us, Lord, oh God, forget these
Amen.
Things that we have heard, Lord.
Amen.
And now, committing, Lord Jesus, all our worship and meetings, Lord, for the week, Wednesday, and Saturday and Sunday, Lord, into your hands.
Amen.
As we welcome our precious brother Alex Lukeni.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, grant him journey mercies all
Amen.
Over from UK to this place, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we will really be blessed, Lord.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And even, Lord, once again, we want to say thank you for
Amen.
All that you have done for
Amen.
Us this day.
Amen.
Give all the glory to you.
Amen.
Now we can go. And know that, Lord, we are holding on to
Amen.
Absolute.
Amen.
Amen.
Because today has been an encounter.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We have seen you,
Amen.
And we have received you, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, we are now going out in that absolute.
Amen.
Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Let's just sing that song. Kick him down, kick him down.
Amen.
Have the devil on the run.
Amen.
Put the devil on the run at the beginning
Amen.
Of the week, my friend.
Amen.
And don't give him an opportunity.
Amen.
And see what a good week you'll have.
Amen.
Right.
Let's kick him up. God bless the saints from the north, but the Lord keep you safe from trouble.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Kick him down.
Kick
him down. Have the devil on the run. The son of God is coming from the north. Let's go to the front tonight.
Yeah.